This week on the Ocean Cruisers podcast, I'm having another chat with Brady and Blue from the Cruisers Academy. These two have been sailing around the world for years on Delos before setting up the Cruisers Academy, which is a school that teaches cruising rather than just sailing, which is now operating in Tahoe, California, as well as in Mexico at the moment, offering sailing courses and offshore passages for people who want to learn about the cruising life or hone in on some offshore sailing skills. If you want to learn more about the courses that they are offering and go sailing with them, you can visit cruisersacademy.com to learn more. Brady and Blue were also skippers at the Odyssey Sailing Festival in the BVI in December and will be skippers again at the Odyssey Sailing Festival in Greece in September of 2024. Cabins are now on sale at theoceancruisers.com/odyssey. If you want to come sailing with us as well as some other legends like Laura Decker, Glenn Shepherd, Dustin Reynolds, be sure to check those out. And thank you to all those lovely folks who are supporting the podcast on Patreon. It does actually make a difference in covering the costs, so that's really appreciated. Alison Brennan joined this week, who will be coming to Odyssey in Greece. Also, cheers, Alison. And for now, enjoy the podcast with Brady and Blue.
Yeah, how's it going, mate?
What's up?
Good.
Why do you look so...
Should we have this whole conversation again?
Yeah, I'm just sat here looking like an idiot on a stage. I've usually got this...
So it looks like you're on a...
I can just chill. Yeah, but now for some reason I hold it like a child, leaning to the camera. I don't know why. I'm not used to holding a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
The little ones?
The TV show one.
Yeah, like, I've got one. I just don't know how to use it.
It's too small for your job.
And then I also got one of those DJI ones as well, the DJI camera, but I never turned that on. I didn't want to do that. So yeah, I need to put a bit more effort into this in my fake boat.
Oh, I love it. Miss you, Andy.
Yeah. I know. I'm happy to be looking at your faces. It's quite nice. It's been quite a while since the BVIs now.
Yeah, it has, yeah. Time is a flying.
Yeah. So actually, right, let's start the podcast because I've got a pretty good, good intro into this. So like the last time we did a podcast, which it was quite a while ago, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, you were sat in an office with like a whiteboard behind you.
Yeah, we were in Tahoe.
Shit, you're right, I don't remember that. Yeah,
I think you were literally just starting. I don't know if you'd done your first like full client season at that point. Like, where were you up to then?
It was years ago. I remember being in the classroom and doing that podcast with you and being like, who is this guy? And our classroom is all disheveled and stuff, so it might have been like
Blue's like, who's this weird Australian that wants to talk?
I did not say that.
I get Scottish, I get Australian, I never get English.
Right. Everyone at the sailing festival thought you were Australian.
I do look more Australian than a typical Brit. I'm okay with that, so that's maybe that's it.
I think your personality too, like you're quite laid back.
Yeah, that is a defining factor of my personality, I'd say. So yeah, I'm pretty pretty laid back. Fair enough, yeah. But so you've gone through some pretty big changes, because not only is like your business now up and running and going nuts, but you also landed like the best deal in history of used boat buying and got the boat that you're on now. I think it was anyway. It looked like a great deal.
It was, yeah. I know it's been, let's see, I guess we've been in business officially for almost 4 years. And then we kind of had like an unofficial year before that where we were kind of, the business was sort of happening to us. And then we're like, all right, I guess we should file the paperwork on this and stuff. So yeah, we're kind of coming up on like our fifth season in total, but a lot has changed.
Yeah,
wow.
When we talked to you first, we hadn't even had Lantika yet, right?
No.
Oh, wow. No,
that was the year before, I think. Or the summer before.
Yeah, super. Us moving to Tahoe and officially starting the Tahoe chapter of Cruisers Academy and getting people out on the lake in the summers. But when we talked to you last, yeah, we had dreams of doing the offshore chapter of the sailing school. We hadn't figured it out. So I can't believe how much has changed since last time we talked, actually. That's insane.
Right. I just counted it the other day. I think we've taught like 500 people to sail and live on boats in the last like 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot, actually. Flipping out. And that's a combination of like the work that you do in Tahoe and also the recent passages that you've been doing.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. How are you guys good at like spacing out your time and like the business now then? Because you're obviously on your own boat in you are in Mexico right now, yeah. Yeah, so how are you separating that out between like being down there and because I mean the business has got to still be running to some description in the background now, like admin, getting stuff ready for the season, all that.
It's been an adjustment, that's for sure. I think
it's a lot.
It's a very complicated question.
Yeah. I mean, to sum it up, it comes back to one of the things we teach on these trips, and it's to have really good communication and share expectations with not only your crew, but your significant other. So when we first did this, we didn't really share our expectations so good. So I assumed we'd be doing during our off time or during the trips, we'd be doing a lot more like personal cruising and just kind of like hanging out. And it was a lot more work than I had anticipated as far as like the admin goes and everything in between. So our expectations weren't voiced then. And what did you have in mind for that initial kind of year that we crossed on?
Well, we kind of tried a couple different things. I think that when we got Lintica, we had it in our mind that we wanted to do 6 months in Tahoe, so like summertime in Tahoe, because that's the sailing season there. And then we were going to 6 months on Lintica, wherever Lintica was in Mexico and beyond. And we did that last season. We spent 6 months on, but we had Lintica in the San Francisco Bay Area for kind of 2 winters, and we would live on her for a few months and then go back to Tahoe and live on her for a few months. And we kind of started running courses there and doing boat work and getting her ready to be a blue water cruiser. And then we did a full 6 months on. We sailed her from San Francisco Bay down into the Sea of Cortez. And that was last winter. And the weather was insane. It was like the biggest winter in California since 1952. So we were just on the coast of California getting like pissed on daily and kind of questioning our life choices. Meanwhile,
It's funny how bad weather could just change your opinion about everything.
it was either like 60 knots out of the south or dead calm.
Oh, that's
So
horrible.
for students on board, it was great learning and a great, and for us, it was a great like, all right, welcome back to cruising, basically.
Yeah, it was a rough re-entry. Meanwhile, Tahoe's getting like the best snow that they've had since the 50s. And
Yeah, we're
like, it kind of
typical.
walked inside. Yeah, so that was hard. There's a mariachi band going by, so hopefully
I don't know
they'll
if you can
make it
hear
through
it or not.
that.
I heard
Tubas going.
something then.
Yeah. We kind of tried the 6 month thing and ultimately decided that we do want to be in Tahoe a little bit more and have time to like snowboard and do stuff like that too in wintertime, which is kind of the season down here. So this year we've been trying something new out. Like we're bringing new captains into the mix.
Nice.
So Brady's, yeah, I've been down here a bit. I kind of come and go like a month at a time here and there. And then Brady's been running some trips without me. And then also he gets to come back and be in Tahoe more this winter because we have a female skipper, really badass female skipper running women's trips. She ran three women's trips in earlier this year in the Sea of Cortez, which is really cool. And she's going to come back and do it again next year.
Awesome.
And then, yeah, we have our friend John Totten, who's like a amazing
Amazing,
human
yeah.
being. Yeah, super cool guy who's been a sailing instructor forever. And he started a nonprofit focused around therapy sailing in Idaho. And he's coming to run some trips for us this year too. So Brady gets to go home for a month and snowboard and stuff. So
Oh,
kind of a
wicked.
mixture. Yeah, bringing new people into the picture and stuff is allowing us to step back more and more. But obviously, like the hardest part about having a small business is picking the right people, because that's everything. Lifestyle business, like you're living on board with people for a week or 2 weeks at a time. So they need to be an excellent sailor and captain, but they also have to have that personality type. So we've just been really careful about who we've chosen. And then the captains that we have got on board are like even higher than our
Yeah, I'd
expectations.
rather be on board with
Yeah.
them than me
Yeah.
if I could choose.
Well, that do you know it's and it's so important when you're looking out for someone like that because it's like in order to sell someone into doing what I'd imagine they want to do, which is maybe get a boat or start doing offshore passages and stuff, like the mood of the boat is so it's just as important as like somebody giving you technical advice. And to get like someone who's a great sailor and a great teacher and a great leader and can run a boat and can like emotionally guide people when they're vomiting everywhere. You know what I mean? Because they've never been offshore. It's a lot to ask of like one human.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah. And my sympathies.
Not only you can find people in the world, right? But the chance that you find them at the right time when they're not successful enough to either start running their own businesses, because people that have those kind of traits already figured something out that to run their own businesses, or have enough experience where they're in such high demand that they're doing other things. So it's a fine line to find the people at the right time and find the people that fit exactly with the right like professional status as well. So I think we're you know, and to go back to like the root of your question of, yes, this is our boat, but I think the expectations of it being our cruising boat as well has kind of changed a bit. It's a lot more of like, it is our home for sure, but it's because other people take it over. It's way more of a work boat kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like there's labels everywhere. If you look behind us, like we've labeled, like there's SOPs and there's certain ways to do everything. And there's a curriculum in the works for our offshore program. So all these things that anybody could step into the role and take over, is what's growing the business. And it feels good. It feels a lot better than having like our personal boat that people come and live on for a while, because at the end of the day, it is this, and we do love Lantica and it is our other home, but it's becoming way more of our asset or our tool to continue to run the business than it is our personal cruising boat.
Yeah. I think, you know, as well, like I've worked for myself for like the past 6 years now. And you need a separate space from where you work to where you just go and sit down and chill out. Like if you're in the same seat where you were getting like pissed off 10 minutes ago because some client's giving you shit, and then you have to like have a cup of tea and have a nice chat with your missus, like it's well difficult to snap out of it, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Sure. Not that exact same scenario.
No, we have a different life, but you know, same thing.
Yeah. I think too, we have plan, like we have, you know, a lot of plans and dreams and stuff to get another bigger boat. And I think that once we get that bigger boat, like Lantica is such a fabulous boat, but she's 42 feet. So it's an awesome experience for people that want to go cruising, because she's a very attainable boat, both in size and price. So it really gives them like on feeling of what it feels like to sail a boat this size and all the systems that go into it and stuff. But we definitely have our eyes in the future on a bigger boat. And I think that once we get that bigger boat, we'll be more interested in doing some more cruising ourselves, you know, grow into something a little bigger.
Yeah, it's a really fine line that I discuss with people all the time is like, you know, Lantica is a big 42 footer. Like she's very spacious and really good for a couple and then friends occasionally here and there. So it's perfect for what she's built for cruising. But when it comes to teaching people and having people on board, there's also a fine line to where we have a very personalized experience on board because we only have two to three students at a time.
Yeah.
Right. But that's also a really good thing, because if you have a bigger boat where you're doing more than four or five people or six people, then it becomes a lot less personalized as well. So I think there's a middle size of the boat and the benefit of showing people what it's like on a 42 footer that people can actually afford and go cruising on themselves. You know, if you have $150,000, you can get something very similar to Lantica in the 42 foot range that's ready to go for you, spouse, and having friends occasionally. So for us to like upgrade, we don't want to go so big where we lose that personal touch, because that's really important to us and our brand and everything. But to be able to have maybe one or two more students would also be great. And then for us to be able to cruise with Sharky and just, add something to the fleet that offers something a little bit different would be really cool.
Yeah. You know, like when you think about what it is you're trying to do and the type of vessel you want, like you'd probably be way better leaning towards a more modern boat. You know, like just in terms of like having that space and then like being able to have all your students like sat around in the cockpit and, you know, not be fighting for room and stuff, like there's lots of advantages because they're made for lots of people.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying.
I'm not saying get a Lagoon 51, but you know.
I don't know. Yeah, I really love well-built well-built classic style boats. Not even classic. I just say would say well-built boats. I'm not going to say anything about anything else. What about your boat or anything? I mean, just say you have a great boat.
I think mine's just on the precipice of being a piece of shit. I think if it was built 2 years later, it would have been crap. Because the next one is just great for.
I think when people are shopping for a boat and they see, we'll just say it, like, you know, Beneteaus and Jeanneaus and all the Sun Odyssey, all these things that have these big wide transoms and the beam carried all the way aft, they're great to look at. But I often tell people it's like IKEA. Sometimes there's a lot of things that the quality isn't there, and that's why they're the price point that they are, is because the quality is not there. And if you're coastal hopping or cruising around the Caribbean, it's a great option. But for us, for ocean going blue water vessels, I really like something to be pretty bulletproof, you know?
Yeah.
So middle ground, like you said, it would be way better. Like the charter boat kind of vibe would fit way more people. We'd be able to teach way more people, have more people aboard for a 42-foot. But as far as where we're coming from the Cruisers Academy, you know, like round the world crazy, like if you want to go into bigger weather stuff, we don't personally recommend something like that.
Yeah, it's personal preference. Like tap versus mono, or, you know, do you want to have something that's smaller and maybe a little beefier or newer and more spacious? It's all just personal preference, I think.
Yeah, and just how often do you intend to actually use the boat that you've got, like, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? Like, most people just do not do this type of stuff anyway, so, yeah. Different boat for a different purpose. So what's it been like for you guys? Because, like, last time we spoke, you were just getting the business set up, and I know you've done, like, other stuff since you left Delos and you left full-time cruising and all that, but you've gone from being, like, obviously joined at the hip because you shared a cabin on one boat to then, like, moving in with each other and then setting up a business and then setting up another business and then getting more animals. Like, it's been a lot. Do you still get along? Do you still like each other after all this?
We, surprisingly, yeah.
I hate being alone.
So this works.
But actually, you know, in the past couple months, especially this year, I've been telling Blue, I'm like, I really like my alone time. And she's so happy to hear that. So we are finding, we're growing, as partners, but also in the business as well. For the first year we moved to Tahoe, we shared a car. It was like a dinghy because I didn't know any better. It was just like, oh yeah, we have like a 2004, 2005 4Runner that we shared for a year, and it was normal. It was the way it works, and then we got our own car. I was really sad. Like, what
is, we don't spend any time together anymore.
Stupid. What? And then, was kind of in the background being super patient, like, no, but this is how it works. Like, you're supposed to have two cars and do separate things separately. So I think over the years I've gotten better at that, and it is really nice because then we can miss each other.
Yeah.
To be
apart. Good point.
Yeah. It's a work in progress for sure. And I think that every chapter of our life is like a new challenge in that, because like, you know, our business partners, and then we're also like roommates and all this stuff, and we live on a boat together in small spaces, and we're together so much. And I think that as time has gone on, we've gotten better at carving out, like, you know, we've made rules, like if we're out to dinner, we'll ask each other, like, oh, can I talk about something about the business right now, and then the other person can say yes or no, because otherwise it just consumes your entire life, because you know, when or from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, you're constantly thinking about the business. That's just the way it is. You don't clock out, and you oftentimes don't get to go home because you work
where you're
you live a lot of the time, right? So I think we've gotten better at, like, kind of building different boundaries and parameters and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, when Brady came down and did boat work this October, he came down 2 weeks before I did to Mexico, and I was like, whoa, this is the first time I've actually been by myself in, like, since we've met, like, almost 7 years ago.
Really?
Which was crazy. I mean, yeah, like, maybe we've been apart for a weekend, like, or something like that.
Yeah, a couple
that.
Days if I go to family or something.
But yeah, and like, it's nice. And it's not because I don't love it. It feels so good to just have a little bit of alone time. Like, it's really good. And then I'm like, oh my God, I miss you. Like, I've never been able to miss you before because we're just always together. We do everything together. So we weren't really sure how that would go this year, having time apart. And it's good. It's only like a few weeks at a time here and there, you know?
Totally. Yeah, and from like the work aspect side of it, I think it's like a double-edged sword of cutting that time off, because I think the reason why we're able to find success in things is because we never turn off. So like it'll be 9 p.m. we're going to bed. It's like, oh, I have this idea. What do you think about this? And then boom, we bounce back and forth for an hour and we get accomplished. So that's great that anytime you have inspiration, you can kind of bounce it back and forth. But then on the other end, it's the complete opposite, where you're just like, I just like to hang out and have, a girlfriend or a boyfriend for the night, not a business partner all of a sudden. So times and kind of coming back to communication of being like, is it okay to ask you a question about work right now? And a lot of times one of us will be like, no, I'm done for the night. I'm clocked out. Like after
Yeah, ghost.
5 p.m. just, and then sometimes we both say no, and then it's like, cool, no worries, I'll ask you in the morning. But if we're like, yeah, I'm kind of interested, let's talk about it, then it can go the other way. So yeah,
Yeah,
it's a challenge,
brilliant.
constant work in progress.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Yeah, cool. So just in regards to like goals and stuff like that, because like last time we spoke, your goal was to like, get the cruises Academy set up, and you did that. And then like you did like the next thing that you thought was, I think, a bit more distant at that point, which was like get an ocean boat. So you've ticked that off the list. You came to the Odyssey Festival, so you can take that off the list. Thank you. So what are you thinking now? Like, because you're very goal-oriented people, you're explorers and travelers, and it's in your nature. So like, what do you want to do in the next 5 years?
A good question. Yeah, I think in the last like 6-ish months, we've kind of realized like, oh wow, we did reach that first round of goals that we set up for the business. And our initial reaction is to be like, let's set more. What should we do next? And we actually stopped and we're like, actually, maybe we can just enjoy this phase for a little bit. And instead of going and getting that bigger boat right now, which we probably could make happen, just kind of taking a moment to be like, wow, we had to work really hard to get Lintika and get her down to Mexico. And that was such a hard season, as I mentioned. So, like, do we really just want to start torturing ourselves right away again? Because if we get one another big boat, like, it's gonna need work, it's gonna need a lot of dedication, it's gonna be a huge amount of stress, and to build out that whole new program. So we're kind of just trying to enjoy where we're at right now and
Wicked.
then grow those parameters. So like I mentioned, the women's sailing courses, actually it's cool, I counted this the other day. We had in this season, we actually had more women join the offshore program than men
No
by
shit.
one. Yeah, which is so cool. And part of that was because Captain Heather Richard ran like three women's courses. But our first season, we had like our first offshore season, we had one woman join, and it was with her husband. And then it was men, which is obviously, a bigger portion of the sailing community in general. It's just like a more male-dominated sport. But to have so many women join has been really cool. So we want to build that program out with her. And then continue to like bring other captains into the picture. We're saving for that big new boat. Still trying to put videos out on YouTube. And then we started a nonprofit too. Do you want to talk about the nonprofit a little bit?
Yeah,
Just because
there's a
that's
lot
not
going on.
doing much. So, another thing you did. Go on, what
Always
is it?
try and go towards this contentment, right? And what is contentment of like just being happy with where you are? And it's another double-edged sword, because if you're content, you kind of don't push yourself further and you don't grow a business or grow relationships or grow things more and more and more, which can lead to more success. But also, if you're discontent, then you can just be happy, apparently. But what we're yeah so what we're working on is a balance of those for the next goals, I think. I mean, for us specifically, my huge goal after leaving Delos was to have a home base in the mountains and have a garage and put stuff in the garage and then have a boat somewhere else in a warmer climate, and being able to go between the two and somehow make a living doing that. And somehow that has worked out. Like, it's really gotten to the point where we're there. And I can't believe I can believe it, actually. It was a lot
He
of work.
probably works really hard for it, so that's probably why it happened.
A lot of things in our relationship and all, you know, it's all hard work along the way, right? Like we've been through a lot of struggles along the way. But learning a lot of the way too. So as we move forward, I think focusing a lot on the contentment aspect of it, and we want to start a family. So that's a huge part as far as like separating business goals and lifestyle goals is, you know, starting a family, having some rent, you know, like right now we have a condo in Tahoe. I love it. It's amazing. And it's very easy to lock up and leave, but to be able to have land where we can have some space to like farm and grow veggies and have our animals and all that kind of stuff is very, very important to us as well. And then from the business aspect, because in our lives, everything is kind of melded together, having that bigger boat that we can grow our offshore program with the captains that we have and kind of slot in some things that are missing with Lintica and with the CEO Cortez. I think those are the future goals for the next, you know, if we don't do a podcast for another, what, 3 or 4 years, just play that back.
And see if it all happened.
This is called the Andy's Vision Board podcast.
Right. Come here for future predictions. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll just be sat there content somewhere in 4 years on
Yeah, I'll just be sitting in Bali meditating on a tree.
That
So
wouldn't be so
content.
bad, mate. You know, it's something that's really changed me. I read like quite a few books, and I spent just a lot more time in general, you know, thinking about what I've done so far. This is probably about 3, 4 years ago, and I reached a conclusion where I was like, you know what, I've worked really hard, I've earned enough, I've had things, and now I know that things aren't really worth anything.
Yeah.
So forget it and just focus on like just being happy in the moment. And
Yeah.
it's actually a lot easier to reach that conclusion once you become a parent, because becoming a parent immediately. Okay, a moral person would immediately disregard a lot of their own personal interests because it just changes. Something inside you changes immediately. You forget about your own stuff and you just want to focus on the kid all the time. It's a natural thing. And I think that helps a lot as well. Just yeah, you appreciate moments more. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I think
Yeah.
it makes a difference.
Yeah, I think in a way too, something that I notice is going back and forth between the bo between living on the ocean on the boat and then living in Tahoe in the mountains is like I almost can't get too jaded by one. You know what I mean? I'm on the boat, you know, I know I'm here for 6 weeks, so I'm like, hell yeah, I'm gonna wake up at sunrise and go out on the deck and enjoy it. Like I'm tired, but I'm gonna push myself to enjoy that moment because I know in 6 weeks I won't be able to do that. And kind of we're like, yeah, I'm gonna jump in. Or yeah, I'm gonna go on this hike or whatever it is because I know it's my time this round is limited. And then it's the same in Tahoe where it's like it's just human nature to get jaded, I think. And switching back and forth between the two, it makes me really appreciate each one and kind of every, you know, seize each moment and always be able to see it through fresh eyes and be like, wow, this is so beautiful that we're here right now, instead of like, oh yeah, it's just the norm, you know.
It's crazy having limited time in one specific place kind of activates that in a person, right? Like if you only have a certain amount of sailing or a certain amount of time in the mountains, you're like, I gotta take advantage of it. Let's do this. But really, at the end of the day, we have a limited amount of time on Earth.
I
So
know, but it's like
I am philosophical here.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes you appreciate things and look forward to things,
Yeah.
and also be able to put stuff off as well. Like, I tell you what, I've got a question for you. Like, I've had boats, like since I was a teenager, but I've never like lived on any of them full time. Like the last cruising boat we had, we spent like a couple of summers on it, which was nice. But I was like working full time remotely and all that. And I am just so glad to get out of a property because I just like see gardens and walls and all. It's just maintenance. I hate it. I'm so fed up of living in a house. You did the boat stuff, which for me, like living on a boat is hard work. Because especially if you're cruising by yourself and you know you're doing all your own maintenance because you don't want to pay people a fortune to fix basic shit. How have you found going from that to like then going into like living in a property, because you like exited society in a way when you started sailing around the world, and then you've come back in full on, like business, everything. Do you know what I mean? How do you find going in between the two, like living on land, living on a boat? Like, does it change your mindset? Does it change your mood? Like, how is it for you?
I think it's,
That's a
yeah,
good one.
it's nice. I think that beyond like living on sailboats for so long, and then before that too, just even traveling and stuff like that, where you never really have your own space to, get art and hang it on the wall, or like grow a plant, or all these little things, you know what I mean? Or have friends. Like, friends are a huge
That you don't
reason,
think by too constantly.
yeah, that
Yeah,
you're always
they're
saying,
yeah.
yeah, when you're cruising. And so to have friends and like a community and animals and all this stuff, it's so nice to have that. So I think we really lean into that when we're home, and just try and make our house really cozy. And just little things are really novel. Like this last year, we went and cut down a Christmas tree and put it in our house and had Christmas
Nice.
morning, and like done that since we were kids with our
Yeah.
families, I think,
Yeah,
because we've
that's
well,
cool.
never. Yeah,
I
but
mean,
like had a Christmas morning
yeah,
like that. Like,
crazy.
yeah, so like little things on land are novel to us still, and we really enjoy them. But it's like it is so easy to get sucked into like
Oh, yeah.
society and consumerism and all this stuff. So it's so
Yeah.
nice to actually be able to put the boat and be like, yeah, I have like two shirts and a pair of shorts, and like I'm good. Like, I don't
Remind
really need like a whole closet full of clothes and stuff like that. So it's a
to
good
get you talking to
reminder.
my wife. I need to, and she's packed a bag to take her clothes on the boat, and it's like it's the most clothes I've ever seen in my life. Like she's not getting it.
She deserves it. It's okay.
Yeah. It's a process though,
Oh, of
'cause then you go and
course. But
I used to
she
be
could
that
lose a
bucket.
few.
Yeah, I come to the bucket, like, oh, I'm gonna want all this stuff for different situations, and then you just end up wearing the same shirt for like a week.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't need all that stuff. So yeah, I think going back and forth is nice.
Yeah, I also just to add to that, I think there's a huge spectrum on both sides. So like the spectrum of people living on land and a spectrum of people living on a boat are like very, very similar. You
Sure.
can have people that are living on a boat in a marina in a powerboat that's never leaves the dock, or in a houseboat or whatever, and then and people on land living in cities or suburbs or in the country. So for me, like I have the theory that the reason why we love Tahoe so much is because you have to be connected to nature. Like we like being places where you're connected to nature and you're kind of everything's dictated by the weather, and you kind of have to have a little bit of sustainability or survival instinct to make things work. So like on the sailboat, that's so I mean that's very like self-explanatory of being self-sufficient. And then Tahoe, for example, like very specifically Lake Tahoe, everything is all dictated by the weather. Like right now, this weekend, Tahoe is getting like over the next 3 or 4 days, like 10 feet of snow.
Wow.
Like 10, yeah, 3 meters of snow in like 3 or 4 days. So that kind of living in that kind of environment forces you to not only pay attention to the weather, but then have you have to notice it, you have to respect it, and you have to work with it. So then you have to shovel and you have to figure out how you're going to survive during that time if power goes out, just like on a boat if you're in a storm. So I think land life in the mountains, remote in Lake Tahoe for us, is very specific to cruising life on a boat
Yeah,
in
there's a lot of
Mexico.
similarities.
It is quite similar
Yeah.
compared to just going from like living deep in a city somewhere to living on a boat that never leaves the dock kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot
Yeah.
of like super passionate people in Tahoe too. Like, people live there to ski or
Yeah.
to mountain bike or to climb or do whatever it is. And so there's kind of this other aspect of life that is related to like sports and nature and being outside that really rules the lifestyle in Tahoe, kind of like it does when you're cruising, you're free diving, or you're into surfing or
Fishing
whatever it
or whatever.
is.
Yeah.
Or even like, and so I think that is also an environment that we really like to be in. And some people maybe don't realize that, when they're confused why we want to have a life on land too. Like, yeah, Tahoe is just a specific place.
Yeah, but it's you. Yeah, I get what you mean. It's a similar type of person that you're going to find as well. It's people that are like outdoorsy. They want to do activities, a bit of skiing, a bit of snowboarding, whatever. Like, it's the same mentality of person.
Yeah, it's actually
Yeah.
crazy. When I moved to Tahoe, I met so many people that were sailors, like
No
tons of
way.
people. Yeah, done epic sailing trips, or were about to start their sailing venture here, that are like, oh, I've either been cruising for a long time or I'm about to go cruising. And then they come back to Tahoe and they ski and snowboard and do mountain activities, and then they go sailing again. One of the
Yeah,
guys that I
wicked.
let at crossing the Pacific in 2010, a boat called Namaste. He actually lives in Lake Tahoe. Like, we skied with him when we first got. I had no idea where he lived, and then just like randomly, we were having dinner at this person's house, and this guy shows up, and I was like, "What the fuck?" Like, Coral Islands diving with manta rays with you, and he's like, "Oh yeah, welcome to Tahoe, bro. Like, this is the community." Yeah.
That's so weird because he's so far
It is.
away, like geographically, from a cruising destination.
Yeah, I know, but that's the point, I think, of why it's drawn so many sailors and people that like the tropics is because it's that complete opposite of the spectrum, but still holds the same values of what you care for. And
Yeah,
you can
good
kind of
point.
fulfill it in both places.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, right, cool. So, what's on the radar for this year? What have you got? So, I presume you've got some like passages going on as well as the school in Tahoe. So, have you got any courses that people can come and jump on your boat and enjoy?
I think the only thing we have planned this year is the Odyssey Salmon Festival in Greece. Yeah, we're just twiddling our thumbs.
What's
Yeah, we're
that?
waiting. September. What do
Actually,
we
we
do
could
between now and September, Andy?
just sit around waiting. I'm really looking forward to it. Do you know I loved the one in the BVIs. I thought it was great. Like the actual event was wicked. Everybody had a wonderful time and the skippers are all just great, great people. But like I wasn't 100% on the location, but just the location. And that's why I'm so excited about Greece.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. When you said it was going to be in BVI, I was like, okay, like that's cool. You know, we've been there and it's good for what it is and all
Yeah,
this
it's a
stuff.
place.
Yeah, you know, and it worked out great for what it is. But for this one, Greece, I'm so excited to
Yeah.
explore that and the history and everything about it. I think that was like a really cool choice to have it be in Greece.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be so, because like I think about 60 or about 65% of the people who are at the one in the BVIs are coming to the one in Greece. And
Good
yeah,
return.
that's
such a high number. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was really happy with that. Like, yeah, I was so happy with that. But yeah, so I'm talking to like, everyone on WhatsApp now and on email and stuff, and I'm just trying to explain to a few people because loads of people are coming over from America. I'm just like, Greece is going to be really good. You're going to really enjoy it. And they're like, oh, what's it like? I'm like, you just drop anchor next to like a 3,000-year-old temple, and that's basic
Yeah.
life. And like, you can't explain it until like you've tried
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that. So, do you still have spots available during this one?
Yeah, I think a couple of we've got a few cabins left. I think maybe six or seven, something like that.
Okay,
So
oh, cool.
yeah, there's a few. I know your boat is full, and then Trip and Kira's boat is full with I think mostly everyone from the last one also. So yeah, that's a pretty good testimonial. I think everybody that went on your boats wanted to come back to this.
Well, hopefully after this podcast, everything will be full. By the time people are listening to this, they've already missed out.
Yeah, cool. I might put just like video overlay footage of the festival in the BVI for this podcast. Just
There
random flashes, yeah. So, have you got anything else planned for the year then? Have you got any other like little milestone points you want to hit on the map, or is there any big passages that you think you might be looking forward to?
Yeah, we have we're bringing so right now we're in Mazatlan, which is on the mainland side of Mexico, like further south in the Sea of Cortez. So yeah, we brought Lantika down here because this time of the year in the Sea of Cortez can be like a little bit chilly, or when we were in La Paz last February, it was blowing 30 knots every single day out of the north. So, and it was like cold. So we're like, all right, let's go explore somewhere else during this time.
And then this year it's
right.
quite pleasant up.
Yeah, so but
it's everything's
hit or miss. So it's been really cool to explore down here. Like, we're in a big city at a marina right now, and then there's some islands offshore that we've been exploring. And then we are down in La Cruz, and we are actually just with like five other sailing YouTube
and
channels
just people
for
that
like
we're
a
like
week.
super close with, but we only see it like boat shows or chat online, and we're like really close friends with. Shared an acreage together,
So that was
so
so fun. We had like six boats all anchored right next to each other, and we were just hanging out all day and like sailing
fucking
together and exploring. So yeah, that was super cool. But and if next week Brady's taking the boat back up to the Sea of Cortez. So we're all booked up for this season, and then our course we put Lintique on the hard for hurricane season down here,
Yeah.
and then course start
Which is
back up.
May to October. Cool.
And then courses start back up in November. So we actually just put those up on our website, kind of like tentative dates and stuff. If anyone wants to just for next season in Mexico and do like this trip versus see, of course, teaching on Catalina 22s. And now we're
Nice.
going to teach on, we just got a Catalina 26 at the end of last summer. So we're going to be doing the course at 26 and 27. And then we sold our 22s to some students. So that would be
Oh,
kind of
nice.
fun. Yeah, switch things up and teach on a little bit of bigger boats. And then we also started a nonprofit.
Oh, yeah, that
So
was mentioned a while ago.
Which we never got into.
basically just to we've been partnering with nonprofits to like take people sailing. So we've been taking like cancer survivor sailing like at no charge to them, and we want to start taking more vet sailing. And like there's a lot of Tahoe's a very interesting place because to get out on the water in a boat is really expensive,
All
and
right.
so we want get more like locals out on the lake and kids and stuff like that. So we pretty much started this nonprofit so that we can start applying for grant money in that area, and
Yeah.
then just try where we're like locals day, like any local that wants to come sail free for the day, like we'll take you out or kids or anything like that, just to increase accessibility to the lake and try and build the sailing community there. There is like a yacht club on the lake and like a race series and a laser race series and all this stuff. So there's a pretty good like sailing community there, but it's a little older and there's nothing
Yeah.
really being replenish the and get like the younger community.
I think it used to be a lot more active and a lot more part of the Lake Tahoe culture with sailing. So bringing that back, the reason why I think it's gone the other way is accessibility for sure. Like it's so, even people that live right there by the lake maybe don't go out in the lake because it's crazy expensive to rent. Like a power boat for the day is going to cost you more than $1,000. Just to go
Or
out
just like a
on like
small
a
little powerboat.
small little ski boat, and that's on the low end, anywhere from $1,000 to
Yeah.
$3,000 or $4,000. It's unbelievable the prices. So part of the nonprofit, like Lou said, is definitely therapy. So like people that are cancer survivors or anybody who needs it that's recovering from something that needs to be outdoors and go sailing and experience nature, but also just accessibility wise. Being able to provide a way for the local communities to get out for free. There's a
Yeah.
lot of youth in these that are underserved, and to get them out for free as well. And just to see the lake, and not necessarily even sail, but like get out on the lake, see what it's about, put the sails up, talk a little bit about it. I think that's the huge kind of point for the nonprofit that we're going to be starting.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really good. Like giving back to the community as well and getting some younger people out there. Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. When did you start doing that?
We've partnered with a non-profit, a couple of nonprofits in Tahoe like the last 2 summers.
Yeah.
So cancer survivors, and then with like injured athletes, people that got hurt in like skiing and snowboarding stuff, and then they they become paraplegic or different levels of injuries,
Yeah.
getting them out. And then we've been trying to it's actually really interesting. One of the main reasons we want to start the nonprofit is because we've really struggled with getting with partnering with nonprofits. We're like, hey, we have the boat, we'll do it
We
for
have
free,
the captains, we have the
like
boat.
we'll
Let's
have
take
all the
people sailing.
insurance, free. Just like show up, and to actually make that happen for some reason has been extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. So now we have like a couple good relationships with nonprofits, but also we just want to start to do it ourselves.
We do it ourselves. That way we can expand the reach and just like bring people in our own instead of relying on partnering with other organizations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully grow the offshore program too, like run specific trips, like, oh, this is like a trip for veterans or anything like that, because, you know, being out on the water, I think we can all say like it's so healing, and a lot of that healing is that it is really difficult, but then when you come out on the side, it's amazing, and it's such a unique way to bond with people and to like bond with your crew and kind of realize what you're capable of and gain confidence and stuff. So yeah, we're excited to grow that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's then a huge goal for us between now and when we get back on Lantika.
Yeah. And then we're going to do some boat shows this year too, like both in the bay. We're going to do the Svensson Spring Fling, and actually get like a booth at the Annapolis Boat Show, like
be kind there. Of funny. Yeah. Get a Cruise Academy booth.
No
instead
way.
Of just like running around and drinking 10 million, what are they called? Painkillers.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, don't get me started on those. You know, like when I went to the great country of America to the Annapolis Boat Show like last year, I haven't been in such a long time. So, you know, I was thinking have a Miller Lite or something. And everyone was saying, oh, I have these painkillers. Like everyone has painkillers. So I got there on day one and I was like, well, let's try one of these things. That is the worst fucking drink I've ever had in my life. It is horrible. And they were putting like cinnamon and like a tomato in there or something. Maybe that's not right, but it tasted like it. They were disgusting. If you're going to do Annapolis, let me know, because I fancied doing something for Odyssey there as well. So we could team up for something on that.
If you want to stay in our Airbnb, we got like a big, cool Airbnb. So we have a room for you.
Oh, sweet ass. Are you going to be getting a stall there, like a stand set up and stuff? Oh, yeah, sweet. All right. Well, this doesn't need to be included in the podcast, but we'll talk about that later. The world doesn't need to know that. They'll find out in October.
That would be really cool.
Sweet.
So the rest of the year is, working out the nonprofit. As you know, our Tahoe school is happening June and July. Dates are up and live for us to actually... for you guys to book online, and we sail June, July, a little bit of August. And then we have the nonprofit that's happening this summer as well. And then we have, what else is happening this year? Odyssey Sailing Festival. We're going to Greece in September. And then anything else?
That's it. Ethan and Brady, I can tell you, you're in a summary mode today. Everything we say, he's like, summarize. Let me
read that. All right.
Well, I think it might be time for a painkiller.
Summarize this podcast here. So what we've talked about is
be taking notes afterwards, writing it all down.
I'm running too fast.
Well, listen, thank you very much for coming on this podcast again. It was very nice spending time with you at the BVIs, and I'm looking forward to Greece.
Yeah, we love you, Andy. You're the best. It's so
back
fun.
At you.
It was so fun hanging in person, and I don't know, looking back on that first podcast we did with you, and like we didn't really know you, and then now here years later, it's like it's fucking awesome. You're one of our favorite people ever.
Totally.
Oh, cheers, guys. Same at you as well. Me and Hibber have this conversation quite often. Whenever you pop on the TV, because you do often. Oh, actually, thank you for making some more YouTube videos again, because that was something that I used to spend a lot of time doing, watching you guys sail around. So, that's great that you're making those videos again. That's really nice.
Doing my summary is because there are more YouTube videos coming. I was going to hit every point. Can you tell them?
What?
There's more YouTube episodes coming.
Yeah, there's more YouTube episodes coming.
About what?
You can't divulge it now. People will figure it out.
Yeah. We have a couple more from Mexico that are going to go out. And then also, we did this crazy dive trip to Palau.
Yeah. Oh, randomly. We went to Palau.
Yes. And we did we filmed there, and they've been sitting on a hard drive for over a year. But when I get home, I'm going to start editing those and put those out. So those will be fun. I don't know. Have you ever been anywhere in that part of the world, like in Micronesia zone?
Micronesia,
Yeah.
like the country.
That reaction says
Yeah.
no.
You've been to Micronesia?
You're not sailing. Well, not we
No,
didn't
but you've
sail
been
there. We
to the
literally,
place.
yeah.
Yeah.
I've sailed there too,
You
though.
were there many years ago.
No
Yeah.
shit, guys. Like, literally, like, because my wife's Syrian, the only country that will allow her in is Micronesia and, like, some other country I've never heard of. I didn't even know that was a place. I thought it was a joke. And you've actually been there.
You're like Smallnesia? What is Smallnesia?
It's like, it's
Yeah.
obviously not somewhere worth going, perhaps. I don't know. Is it nice? What's
Oh,
the place like?
worth going.
Palau is incredible.
Yeah, Palau is very similar to if you've seen pictures of like Raja Ampat with like the
Yeah.
rock island, that's
Yeah.
like Palau. So yeah, this series will be perfect for you because you can learn about Micronesia.
Oh, I'll show Hiba where she's allowed to go on holiday. I'll be like, this is the nice
Yeah.
country where they'll take you. I'll show her that one. All right. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah. All
right, thanks, man. See you later.